Hey guys, this is Corey. If you're listening to this, what you're going to hear is actually a really highly condensed down, edited version of one of our Patreon chats. We just had a really fun Patreon chat, and it was all about like times and places that it would have been nice or would be nice to, you know, do magical stuff. We just wanted to sort of share that with you guys this month. Lane, did you have any thoughts on that?
Nothing specific, but I had a really good time, and there were some really interesting questions brought up, and it was just a really good chat. I'm glad this is the one that we're able to release to people.
Yeah. And this is so normally what happens is we do these group conversations, and then we'll release the raw recording, maybe a little bit polished up, to all of the Patreon sponsors so they could have that for, you know, for their fun and edification and whatever they, you know, whatever they want to do with it. But I thought this conversation was so good, I just wanted to share kind of some of the highlights of it. And this is just the kind of thing that, you know, our Patreon sponsors are able to get in on pretty regularly. But, you know, I know not everybody is able to support us on Patreon. If you are, that's awesome. We appreciate it. And if you're not, maybe this is the kind of thing that you'll hear and you'll be like, oh, well, I can throw $1 a month their way or something like that. But
yeah.
So, and you know, if not, then we do try to, you know, get some of the stuff out to people, to everybody, as much as we can. So,
all right.
Anywho, so we're gonna let you hear this conversation about the whens and wheres of American Witchcraft with a couple of our super awesome Patreon sponsors. Hope you enjoy. And yeah, that's all four of us. So the topic I sent out, and we're not married to anyone, but we basically sent out like this idea that we were going to talk a little bit about time periods, like sort of like if you could be a witch in any time period, you could live in any time period sort of doing witchy business or magical business, when would it be? And then we also, Lane and I had kind of had a side conversation really today saying like, oh, we should totally also talk about like, where do you want to go? Like, what places do you want to go? That like have this like magical calling for you. So I think she and I are going to chat about that for like, you know, 10 minutes or so, and then loop you guys in to just like chat away and get your opinions on things too. Okay.
Fine.
Awesome. All right. Lane, do you want to start us off? Kind of what's your best time? I guess maybe let's do the first section talking about kind of the time periods that we like.
Okay, well, I'm going to be a little bit contrary and start off and say I'm pretty ecstatic to be in the time period that we're in. You know, I think it's good to, you know, I mean, I think it's easy to look back with kind of rose-colored glasses and be like, oh, that was such a cool time. But, you know, every time period has its own downfalls, I guess. So I very much appreciate like, the information that we have at our fingertips right now, and it's not in books that have to be, you know, bought like kind of in secret, or you have to find little specialty shops for, you know, things like that. So I'm very glad to live in the age we live in now. But I also think kind of like that 60s, 70s era, mm-hmm. that really calls to me. Not just because of like all the, I just feel like that whole time is the word that jumps out at me is like awakening. Like, you know, there was like the feminist movement and just all kinds of awakenings. Am I making sense?
Yeah. So basically like, so in this, like you're thinking like in the 60s, 70s, Wicca is kind of coming into its own, but there's also all these other movements kind of converging to make it okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I can dig it. It's groovy.
Yeah.
In the parlance of the time period. Cool. And I, you know, being who I am, why pick answer A or B when you can pick answer Q, right?
Right.
Why choose one when you can have them all? I kind of said, you know, I love the 60s and 70s. I think that's really cool. I like the kind of glam witch sort of thing that happened back then. The whole like Stevie Nicks style phenomenon is just like, I just want to wear things that flow and twirl. That's what I want. You know?
I love it.
Give me a tambourine and a gauzy shawl and I'm happy.
I call you Rhiannon.
So that's definitely up there. But I think I'd also, the 20s and 30s have a weird appeal to me too, because you've got kind of hoodoo moving up from the South into Chicago at that period of time. So you're getting this interesting mix of the urban conjure versus the country conjure. And there's still a lot of folklore work that's going on at that point in time out in the Appalachian Mountains. And so there's a lot of stuff kind of coming out about witchcraft that's still being practiced, but also kind of stories are still being told about witchcraft at that time period. And I think that's a really interesting time period for me.
Yeah.
So what about you guys?
I totally agree with what Lane had said about this time period. I don't think I would go to any other, I mean, maybe the 60s, because I've always felt like kind of a hippie calling, but if you listen to Sawbones, that podcast about what medicine's been like over the centuries, uh-huh. You don't want to go, you really don't want to go before about the 70s, because the medical treatment was horrendous. So
for me, I would probably choose either the late Victorian era or the Renaissance, because you have like the Order of the Golden Dawn and the OTO and all of these other really awesome magical lodges that came out of the Renaissance, or not the Renaissance, the Victorian era. But then you also have like Dr. John Dee and Heinrich Cornelius Agrippa, who come out of the Renaissance era. And I just think, you know, for times to be a scholar of the occult, I think both of those would be kind of awesome.
I think the late 1800s, actually, around that time, I wasn't thinking about that, when all the spiritualism and everybody was sort of open to seances, and
that's exactly, you know, what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. That would have been a pretty cool time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like the thing to do, was to go to seances or host them in your parlor and
yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there was certainly a lot of like charlatanism that mm-hmm. circulated around that time, but there's also the, you know, you have a lot of people that are expressing a lot of interest in that side of the world, which is cool.
Right.
Nifty. Yeah, it's such a neat thing. I've been listening to podcasts, of course, because I do that. And there's this one called Presidential, which has nothing to do with magic. It basically follows like each president in the United States history and their leadership styles. And I just listened to one, I think it was on Calvin Coolidge. It was either Calvin Coolidge or maybe Woodrow Wilson. And they were talking about the fact that there's this really famous Washington, D.C., medium named, I think her name was Madame Mary or Madame Maria or something like that, and how she would come to the White House and like hold seances and all these kinds of things. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. I love that so much.
Yeah, can you imagine if that happened today and like the...
Well, I remember what a kerfuffle
shitstorm that would result.
Do you guys remember the Reagan administration and like all the kerfuffle about like Reagan and Nancy Reagan not contacting, but consulting astrologers?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I've just learned about that recently from a podcast, and I don't remember which one, but I was shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one of those.
Especially for the Reagans.
Yeah. it sounds cool. You got to get past the just say no thing, but you know, it's kind of cool. They were into some of the thinking outside the box spiritually.
Yeah. Yeah. They were the Reagans are such an interesting, I don't know.
we're veering into politics. Perhaps we should veer back.
The only thing I'm really interested in is the fact that like they had this weird like California thing going on. Like they, because obviously he kind of comes from that Hollywood background, and there's just that like so they were actually really open to certain very strange things that you know not everybody was open to in the conservative religious realm.
I mean, they're just continuing the old tradition of having a court wizard in the ruling political.
I love it. That's the John D. That's the John D.
Yeah, exactly.
Reagan administration.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. All I was going to say is I am very happy that I'm again in this current time period, because I don't think I would. Just the whole YouTube thing and the podcast thing has been integral for me in learning everything and in coming out a little bit more. So I just don't think I ever would have done that. Even in the 60s or 70s, I would have been way too scared and closeted.
Agreed.
So. And Claire, what about you?
Yeah, Beth, I totally agree with you. The internet is basically not my only community for this kind of thing. But I also have a really hard time not romanticizing that very early colonial period, kind of the cottage witch image.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. It does bring up an interesting point, you know. So, you know, what time period would you definitely not want to be alive as a witch? Because, I mean, I'll tell you, like, you know, I think 17th century, 18th century Scotland, nope. Big old hard pass. Hard pass on that. Thanks.
Well, it depends on whether you're a witch or an occultist. Mm-hmm. At that point, because there was, again, it's late Renaissance, so there's a lot of forgiveness for studying the occult as an academic pursuit, where as opposed to witchcraft, if you were practicing like cottage witchcraft at that point in Scotland, yeah, that would be. Bad.
You gotta put on your SPF 1 million because you're gonna get burned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. There definitely is some vogue for it at that period of time. And then there's also, you know, like you said, the ones who seemed a little witchier than, you know, learned astrologers might face some issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Trey, I think I saw you kind of starting to poke your head in there. So this is, do you mind if I tell them who you are?
No, that's fine.
So if nobody knows, this is Trey from The Witch's View.
Yeah, I was just going to piggyback on what he was saying. I could definitely see there being periods where I would have liked to have maybe been more of a part of a church, you know, the institutional side of things, because I definitely have that interest in the occult and like religion as opposed to more folk tradition.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like any period where it would be good to be in the institution would probably be bad to be experimenting in the folk.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so then the other side of the question, I think, is the where. You know, I mentioned the idea of 1700s, 1600s. Scotland would not be my first choice for being a witch. But, you know, there's a lot of places that I would love to visit for the sake of, you know, their sort of magical history or their magical vibe. You know, we've done some shows on New Orleans and Salem, Memphis. Hopefully I'm going to have one coming out about Nashville fairly soon. And, you know, I feel like there's some other places that would be worth discussing. But Lane, you know, are there places that you that you sort of have like on your radar for like, oh, I really want to visit that place because of its magical associations?
I'm sure I do like new places. I was kind of approaching the where from where I had been.
Mm-hmm.
So what I had, excuse me, in mind to talk about was like New Orleans and Salem.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to go back to both. They both have such an interesting kind of vibe to the city.
Mm-hmm.
And it's distinctly different from each other, but still magical, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sure people are going to name places and be like, oh yes, that I do want to go there, but I can't think of anything kind of new off the top of my head. Cause those are two kind of the ones that I would
think of off the top of my head, and I feel really thankful that I've been able to visit both of them.
And we mentioned New Orleans, and actually, don't get me wrong, Lane, I loved our time in New Orleans. It was fantastic. But my most...
That's what happened. I loved our time in New Orleans.
But actually, my most recent visit to New Orleans, I got to hang out with Trey while we were down there, right?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was awesome. So, like, the most badass fiddler in the world.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, that was very cool. Do you have any thoughts
on... when you were telling me...
Do what?
Sorry, we're talking over each other. Oh, I was just saying I was super jealous when you told me you were going back. I was like, no, I want to go back so bad. Because we went in November of, 2013?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and every November, I, like, get nostalgic for it. Like, the air turns kind of cold again, and I'm like, oh, this is when I was in New Orleans.
it was a really cool experience. That was, and, you know, we get to hang out with a lot of cool people. We were the Folk Magic Fest was there at the same time that we were there, and got to hang out pretty extensively with Peter Padden, which was really, really, really awesome. He's a good guy. But then the most recent time, like I said, hanging down there with Trey, and you guys, you've been to New Orleans a lot, right? So do you have any thoughts
on
that?
We live like about an hour, maybe an hour and a half away on a bad day. I don't have anything, you know, new to say about, you know, it being a magical city or whatever, but I've been thinking about why it's a magical city.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it is because it is relatively small compared to a lot of other metropolitan areas. You have people from a bunch of different diverse backgrounds really crammed into a small area. And so you have this like explosion of culture that you can like just visually perceive everywhere around you. And I think it just, especially if you're not from the area, it transports you to a different sort of mindset.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I mean, Europe certainly has, you know, its traditions and it's sort of wild. I mean, there's the forest in Poland that's kind of the primeval forest. It has those places. But there's such a human overlay to so much that you find in Europe. Whereas in America, there's always been this sort of, I don't know, there's this concept of like going on an errand into wilderness. That's a very like puritanical concept. And that is very much kind of our relationship with our landscape is that it's a wilderness.
Mm-hmm. So. Right. We kind of turn that forbidden forest trope on its head.
Yeah. Yeah, like we are constantly aware that we are surrounded by wolves.
I definitely used to have a draw to the Northwest. To me, there's something about their forests that just captured that sort of fairy tale image.
That's a good point.
That definitely had a draw to me. But the older I get, the more that I hate the thought of leaving the South, though.
Yeah.
But I recently made a trip to the West Coast, and I totally agree that that's a very magical place. The Redwood Forest is incredible, and Crater Lake has an island in it that's actually called River Island, so that is an especially magical environment, I would say.
Mm-hmm. When the first time I went to Chicago was a little less than a year ago, and it was the first time I'd been to a really big city since I really started, like, deeply studying magic, and I got about 50 miles outside of Chicago, and I felt the presence of Chicago, like, the genius loci of Chicago. It was something pretty fantastic, just like all of the people. It took me like a day to be able to like calm down enough with the sensory overload of that genius loci before I could like get a good night's sleep and stuff. Just so much power, so much going on there.
So New Orleans is like gumbo, and Chicago's like a deconstructed gumbo.
Yes. New Orleans is the gumbo, and Chicago is the Luby's cafeteria style tray where everything gets its own slot. It's the hungry man dinner of
Mexico. I love you guys.
Deconstructed gumbo.
All right, so there you have it. That was a really shortened form of the great conversation that we got to have with our Patreon sponsors and listeners. And it's just one of those conversations that, I mean, the whole conversation was fantastic, but I think you can hear even just kind of in the short version how much fun we have with it, but also how much it brings to the table when we have, you know, smart listeners that show up and share their thoughts and their interests and their knowledge with us. So just another way that we think we have the best possible listening audience, the best possible group of people that stay involved with us and keep us going and make New World Butchery, you know, what it is. So huge thanks to all those who showed up for the conversation. We really appreciate everybody who contributed to the flow and the vibe of it. And it was really, really a lot of fun. Athena, Beth, and Akia, and Claire, and Kevin, and Trey from the Witch's View as well. All y'all were just fantastic. We really, really appreciate it. Yeah, so if you want to be a part of that, you certainly can be. Just head over to patreon.com/newworldwitchery. If you can help support us, then you get access to all sorts of fun stuff like these conversations in a kind of full, uncut form. And if you throw a few extra bucks our way, you wind up being able to participate in them. You get some cool rewards and treats as a result of that. We'll actually have some rewards hopefully coming out to some of our patron sponsors in the next couple months for the sort of annual mailing packets, and the we have some other benefits that people get at different levels. So at any rate, we appreciate any help and support you can throw our way, and we also appreciate you just listening. If it's not something that you can do, we totally get that, and you can help make us better in other ways. We'll have a listener feedback show coming up pretty soon, so we love getting listener feedback because we're able to respond to that either directly through email, which we try to do as much as we can, but then sometimes we get really good letters that spark really good conversations, and so we'll use those as the basis for shows as well. So all of that is from you guys, and we appreciate that immensely. So at any rate, that's it. This is just a short little special episode. Thought people might enjoy hearing some of these conversations. It was too good not to share at least a few highlights from. So if you want to reach us, compassandkey@gmail.com. You can find us at our website, newworldwitchery.com. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook, and on Pinterest as well. I mean, there's lots of ways. If you have a carrier pigeon attuned to us, you can certainly send us that way. Thought forms and egregores are welcome as well. So anyway, yes, thank you so much. Have a wonderful beginning of September, and we will talk to you again later this month. Thanks for listening. Be well.